The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 5 degrees and cloudy at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Deirdre Danovich, and here are today's headlines. No tax reductions in Quebec's economic update. We're not as good at spotting scams as we think we are, and junk food ads are targeting kids. The Legault government made major announcements this morning regarding the Quebec economy, and it isn't looking great. Our reporter Charlotte Theofanous joins us now with details on what the province's finances may look like. Charlotte, what are we hearing about the deficit?
Well, Deirdre, things are looking better on the surface, but when we look more closely, we see that the CAQ really has not done much. A budget was presented in April saying that Quebec had a deficit of over $13 billion, and as it turns out, the deficit has actually dropped to around $9 billion. Though this seems like a positive change, economist Moshe Lander says that this is not because of anything the CAQ has done, but because of circumstances out of their control, like tariffs, inflation, and unemployment not being as bad as we thought they were going to be.
Turns out that in every one of those cases, the situation is better than what they had projected, which means that the state of the government's finances is better than what they had projected, which means the deficit is less than what they had projected. But they haven't changed anything in terms of their policies.
And Charlotte, what was said about social services?
Apparently, efforts have been made to improve social services for women who are victims of domestic violence, with the opening of residences for those looking to flee an unsafe living situation.
Il y en a 108 maisons d'aide d'hébergement qui sont financées par le ministère de la Santé et des Services sociaux.
And what about taxes?
Well, though many Quebecers want a reduction in the carbon tax, the CAQ is providing no relief. Gasoline prices are only set to rise in the coming months, and Quebec still stands as the province with the highest gas prices in the country.
Thanks, Charlotte. Quebec's economy showed very minimal growth in August 2025. Quebec's real GDP at basic prices edged up just 0.1%, marking the second month in a row of flat growth, according to the Institut de la Statistique de Québec. Gains in retail and education were offset by declines in transportation. For the first 8 months of 2025, the economy has grown a modest 1% lead by education, real estate, healthcare, and retail. Meanwhile, manufacturing fell 2.2%. Compared to Canada's 0.3% drop in August, Quebec's economy remains stagnant at best. A fire broke out overnight at a used car lot in Montreal's Saint-Laurent borough. 15 cars were set on fire before responders quickly got the flames under control. Zach Jutras is live at the scene. Zach, what's the scene looking like?
Well, Deirdre, there's orange police tape blocking off the entrance of the parking lot. Police are behind it investigating, but right behind it as well, there's a burned and wrecked car. Two police vehicles are on the street of the crime scene while one is parked between two warehouses and the lot. They're not letting anyone onto the property.
And what are police saying so far?
Well, for the police, this is an ongoing investigation. Police are in the parking lot, as I mentioned, trying to figure out what led up to the fire. They say they'll also attempt to get access to cameras around the property. There are several outside of neighboring warehouses. And I've seen two police officers on foot going to those warehouses and going inside and asking for footage. The police believe it to be an arson and that there is a suspect to be found. However, so far, no arrests have been made.
And we've learned, Zach, that this is not the first time this business has been a target.
That is correct. This is the fourth time in 3 years. Some of those other incidents also involved cars being set on fire. Montreal police spokesperson Jean-Pierre Brabant says that this will be considered in their current investigation.
In total, in the last 3 years, there's been four events of arson at this place. On the course of our investigation at this moment, there was no arrest. So for sure that we're going to ask about that to those owner of that building to see if there's any situation that could lead to them being targeted by those.
You know, this is an industrial area. You may hear it with all the trucks that are still passing by. And for so many, it remains business as usual. The police arson squad, however, will continue their investigation.
Thanks, Zach. Montreal police have seized nearly $230,000 worth of drugs and arrested two suspects following raids in Villeray-Saint-Michel Park Extension and Laval last Wednesday. Officers recovered 6 kilos of cocaine and nearly 7 kilos of crystal meth. 33-year-old Karim Chalky faced trafficking and possession charges in court, while a second suspect was released without charges. The SPVM says the operations were led by Projet East Narcotics Module with support from multiple police units. The days against violence against women begin today, and with them comes a new warning about the persistent threat facing women across the country. In light of the occasion, the launch of a new podcast is addressing violence and feminicide. Luca Fanichet has more on the story.
Feminicide is remaining a real issue in Canada, with latest data showing a constant number of women and girls being killed. These numbers have reached a plateau ranging between 160 to 180 every year. For women foundation groups, these numbers translate a blatant lack of governmental response and a global underrepresentation of the issue.
No country is actually probably doing enough because we have stalled progress on violence against women. So I don't think Canada is unique in that regard. It's not, you know, its response isn't the worst, but it's also not the best.
As a response to raise awareness on the subject, the Canadian Feminicide Observatory released this morning a new podcast called Two to Crime, a series with more than 580 episodes. One for every woman or girl killed in Canada over the last 5 years. For the Institute, this podcast is really a way to highlight how feminicides in Canada are happening and stress the government to act.
And are preventable. And so what we're hoping to do is to increase the knowledge about femicide so people understand what femicide is, but also to urge the federal government to officially recognize and to work towards including femicide in the criminal code.
Advocates hope the renewed attention will push governments to improve tracking, prevention, and support services, and ensure that the next national count doesn't show another 500 women lost. For Concordia News, this is Luca Fanichet.
According to a new poll, overconfidence in spotting scams may be costing Canadians during the holiday season. Sarah Martirana has more on the story.
86% of Canadians say that they are confident that they can spot a scam. However, Claudio Papa, a fraud specialist, says that the small number of people who can't still constitutes a big loss.
Scam volumes have vastly increased, and that's why we're seeing even a small percentage of these scams will result in billions of dollars of losses annually for Canadians.
One in four Canadians say that they have already fallen for a scam. About three-fifths of Canadians say that they have taken action to protect themselves against scams. Yet as Canadians start to buy gifts for their loved ones, 21% of them say they're willing to take risks while online shopping to save money. Jeff Horncastle from the Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre says in order to address this issue, we need more awareness and education to change the perception of fraud.
Breaking the stigma around fraud, right, to encourage having discussions, right, so not to be secretive about being a victim because you're afraid that you're going to be, made fun of or feel ashamed or feel stupid for being a victim.
About a third of Canadians say they would only report a scam if they lost money. 10% of respondents admit to keeping a past scam a secret from people in their lives. For Concordia News, I'm Sarah Martirana.
The National Assembly is holding special consultations today on Bill 3, the government's proposal to boost transparency and governance in labor unions, a measure that is drawing mixed reactions. The FIQ, which represents nearly 90,000 healthcare workers, is sounding the alarm, calling the bill a risky case of government interference that could hurt union democracy and their financial independence. Other groups, like the FCCQ, are noting some positives, pointing to things like 24-hour votes and audited financial reports as useful changes. But big unions like the FTQ aren't convinced, saying the bill feels like a way to silence unions and limit their political influence. A new study suggests that cartoon characters on food packaging encourages kids to pick unhealthy snacks. Hassan Bale has the story.
Researchers in Calgary found more than 2,700 food items in Canadian stores using characters like Spider-Man, Paw Patrol, and the Minions to attract kids. And the study says most of those products are highly processed in sugar, salt, and saturated fat. The Heart and Stroke Foundation says more than 90% of products using kid-friendly characters don't meet Health Canada's nutritional criteria. Dietitian expert Robin Glantz said that a small amount of sugary snacks won't harm a child. The real concern is a lack of essential nutrients.
I always say is as long as these kind of snack-type foods are not replacing or becoming their main source of energy in a day. If they're still eating three balanced meals and at least a snack or two that does have some maybe protein and other nutrients, and on top of that, they'd like something sweet and fun, by all means, that is not going to cause harm to their health or development.
The study shows that fresh fruits and vegetables made up only 1% of the products using cartoon imagery. Meanwhile, children can see up to 54 characters in a single store visit. Sylvia Santos, professor at the Health Department of Concordia News, says schools have a role to play.
But it is up to the schools to help encourage and give messages for proper nutrition. There's a difference between the marketing and the actual nutritional information that the kids are getting.
Health advocates say the findings show why the federal government needs to move forward with regulations restricting advertising of low-nutrient foods to children. They warn that industry lobbying has delayed actions for years. For Concordia News, I am Hassan Bale.
Sports fans have plenty to cheer about this week. More than 40 national hockey matchups are scheduled, with the Canadiens facing a tough three-game run starting tomorrow, plus big moments in the NBA and NFL. Here's Gabriel Watson with all your sports news.
And this one out, here comes Cooley! Cooley is in! Cooley! He scores!
The 21-year-old Jordan Cooley had the first 4-goal game in the NHL this season, raising his total to 13 goals scored. Last night, he led the Utah Mammoths to a 5-1 win against the Las Vegas Knights. This is worrying news for the Canadiens, who are set to face off against Utah tomorrow night at 9:30 at the Delta Center. The Canadiens are only just coming off a 5-game loss streak after they won their game against Toronto on Saturday. Later this week, the Canadiens are scheduled to face off against the Vegas Knights Friday and the Colorado Avalanche Saturday. Later today at 9 p.m., the Dallas Stars will face off against the Edmonton Oilers. In tennis news, Novak Djokovic became the oldest player in history to finish in the top four in ATP rankings.
He's got it back. He's got to deal with a low clock situation. He's already made 4-3 tonight and right down 3 more.
Canadian basketball fans have been having a good November as the Toronto Raptors are on an 8-game win streak. Scotty Barnes of the Toronto Raptors ended last night's game against the Cleveland Cavaliers with a 35-38 points, leading Toronto to win 110-99. Toronto has another game tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. against the Indiana Pacers, with sports bettors giving the Raptors a 82% chance of winning. Big news for baseball fans, as much chatter in the baseball world, Shohei Ohtani announced on social media Monday night that he will be playing for Team Japan in the 2026 World Baseball Classic.
Play number 13 on this drive, toss to McCaffrey, gets blocking, and a touchdown.
The San Francisco 49ers won a decisive victory last night against the Carolina Panthers, ending the game 20-9. Brock Purdy of the 49ers ran 193 yards. The 49ers badly needed this win as they are currently second to last in the NFC West. And that's it for sports.
Thanks, Gabriel. San Pellegrino, the brand of sparkling flavored water from Italy, is giving their iconic green bottles a holiday makeover and a purpose. A new limited edition design features tear-off labels printed with conversation starter questions, encouraging Canadians to go beyond small talk at festive gatherings. A recent San Pellegrino Commission survey found that while 68% of Canadians believe deeper conversations strengthen relationships, 39% stated most of theirs remain surface level. Not only will this help spice up dinner time, but Canadians can also enter to win a 6-pack of the limited bottles by commenting a suggested question on San Pellegrino CA on Instagram. Make sure to submit yours by February 2nd. And get ready for a roller coaster week of weather. Highs will stay around 3 degrees right up until Friday, with a lot of rain expected to hit us tomorrow. Winds will pick up and temperatures will dip to -2 by the end of the week, so don't get too cozy. But Saturday brings a bit of a break with sun peeking through the clouds, but it will feel chillier at -4, so bundle up. And Sunday, same cold air, but make sure you grab your umbrella. Rain is moving in once again to wrap up your weekend. That's your news to 11:45. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Deirdre Danovich.